trying a little truncated service today, things in a little different order. But as we come to our scripture today, I knew a family who had been a foster family for many, many years. They had two of their own kids and at least one, many times more, foster kids at any given time. And one of their foster kids had a lot of health issues and, of course, behavioral issues, pretty standard. But the health issues meant he was unwanted. Unwanted by his distant relatives, unwanted by the parents that abandoned him, unwanted by anyone except this family who were fostering him. In fact, after a couple of years, they decided that they wanted to adopt him, and he agreed. And all it took was a couple of forms in about 2 weeks. Oh, wait, no. It took mountains of forms and years of waiting. But finally, one day, they got all the approval they needed. He was officially part of their family. And that's just the beginning of the saga, because once he became officially adopted, now he still had to grow up. He had stability. He knew he was part of this family, but he still had to decide what to do next. In the same way, Christmas is an incredible event that was hundreds of years in the making, and thanks to Jesus, we are adopted into God's family. Hooray! But now we have to grow up in God's family. We still have to decide what to do next after our adoption. Galatians chapter 4. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property, but they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us. While we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. So thanks be to God. You know, there are those times in your life, those what-if moments. Times you look back and you think, what might have been the possibilities? Maybe you've heard in the news lately about people who bought Bitcoin when it was worth like $100 and now it's worth $15,000, but then they lost their password and there's no way to recover it. So it's just sitting there and they can't do anything with it. Or I know some people who knew Michael Dell before he went public with his company, and he had this little computer business on the side, and these people I knew agonized over whether to invest right at the beginning, and they decided not to. It was too big of a risk. And that little computer business went on to be Dell Computers, one of the largest manufacturers in the world. For me, my what-if moment came back in the early days of the internet. I was the proud owner of a brand new email address. I could access and was accessible by the whole world. It was an incredible time, and it became remarkable one day when I received a very important email. It was the opportunity of a lifetime, but I didn't do it. What a shame. All I had to do was hand over a couple $1,000 to this Nigerian prince, and he promised to deposit millions in my account. Can't believe I never did it. Well, of course, that's one of the most famous scams, and yes, they're still doing it. And in fact, I think I saw an arrest yesterday of someone who had been running one of those schemes. They're still parting people from their hard-earned money with lies and dazzling promises of ambiguous wealth. Most of us see that immediately and don't believe it, let alone take it seriously. But there are enough people fooled, it's still a thing today. But I think that that highlights two key decisions we have to make about so many things in our lives, especially our faith. What do we believe? And what do we take seriously? And those are not always the same. For instance, I can believe that there are true grievances between the Amalgamated Order of Real Bearded Santas and their rival Santa group, the Red Suit Society. I trust that they really do have as much troubles as they say they do, but I cannot take fighting Santas seriously. On the flip side, I have long taken sports seriously, tracking Texas Longhorn football and basketball players, even when they're in the pros. I spend time on that, but I do not believe that it actually matters. Similarly, there are a ton of people who believe in Jesus. But James 2:19 reminds us You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Demons believe in Jesus, but they don't follow him. They don't take him seriously. Or did you know that Jesus is considered an important prophet in Islam? They believe in Jesus. They just don't believe he's the Son of God. They don't believe he's more important than Muhammad, so they don't follow him. They don't take him seriously. There is a big gap between believing something and taking it seriously. So the question for us after Christmas is, what do you believe in? And what do you take seriously? What do you believe is important and actually take seriously in your life? Our text today says that we are adopted as children into God's family. That's not too hard to believe. We've been trained in that for many years. But do we take it seriously? Our text says there's a difference between children who are minors and thus under the management of someone else and children who have grown up to be adults. That, to me, is the difference between believing and taking seriously. After all, there are a lot of ways to be a part of a family, especially if you find out you've got a big inheritance coming. In the Adam Sandler movie, Billy Madison, Billy is set to inherit this huge family fortune in business, and he prepares for that day by sitting in the pool, drinking adult beverages, and doing pranks with his friends. On the other hand, Warren Buffett has always been afraid of what his kids will do, knowing what kind of inheritance, how many billions they might inherit from him, so he decided to give most of it away. He said he wanted to give his children enough money so that they would feel they could do anything, but not so much money that they couldn't do anything. But whenever his kids wanted to start a philanthropic organization, if they wanted to make a difference in the world, oh, here's a $1 billion check. He would fuel that if they wanted to make a difference. Buffett also likes to give this to people when they find out they're going to receive a large inheritance. He gives them this card that says, "My unexpected inheritance will allow me to." And there's a blank at the bottom. If you write, "Buy a car every 3 months until the money is gone," you've probably missed the point of the exercise. And so when we hear that we are adopted into God's family, when we hear that we have the Spirit of the living God inside us, when we hear we don't have to be slaves to fear and doubt anymore, when we hear that we are set to inherit the kingdom of God, what does that allow me to do? What does that allow us to do? I've shared before that whenever the guys I play basketball with find out I'm a pastor, they always, always, always say the same thing first. "Oh, I'm so sorry I cursed in front of you." As if that's on top of my list. But it's fascinating because it shows that so many people think that taking Jesus seriously means coming up with a big list of things that I would like to do but cannot because of my faith. They think that Christianity is basically temptation all of your life to not do the things you would rather do. But notice Buffett's inheritance card. It doesn't say my unexpected inheritance will require me to stop. That's not what it says. It says, what will it allow me to do? It's about enabling, not removing. About potential, not refusal. About becoming a mature follower of Christ, not cowering and worrying you're going to lose it all if you mess up too many times. So what does your faith allow you to do? What does your faith enable in your life? For example, if I had a huge inheritance coming, you know what I would do? Well, in reality, not much different than today. But there are some bucket list items that I would probably check off. I would love to see Alaska or do, you know, like a sailing cruise in the Mediterranean or hike the steps of the Pilgrim's Way at Machu Picchu or go see the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. Those are on my bucket list. And in case you're wondering, no, the kids aren't going on any of those trips. That's what it would enable me to do. You know what else would come with that, though? Paying more taxes. No one likes paying taxes. A big inheritance would mean more money, and more money always means more taxes. But if that happened, I wouldn't sit around telling you, "Oh man, I got an inheritance and I got to pay more taxes. That's terrible." That's not what I'm going to be telling you. I'll be too busy checking off my bucket list to notice that. In the same way, our faith comes with some taxes. There are some demands. There are some things that we are asked to change. That's because our faith enables and allows us to do incredible things. Our faith allows us to have hope when we shouldn't. Our faith encourages us to make a difference in real people's lives, not just be all about ourselves. Our faith guides us to a meaningful life. We should be too busy living out those faith bucket list items to be bothered with listing all the things we can no longer do. And so I want to issue the same challenge that Warren Buffett does. If you look on the back of your bulletin, you'll see that inheritance question framed for faith. It says, I'm adopted by faith into God's family. That allows me to. And there's a blank there at the bottom. And so I'm going to give you a minute here in the service to actually think about that and write it down. So this isn't asking you, what does your faith demand from you? This isn't asking what your faith requires you to stop doing. This isn't about your taxes here, not your taxes of faith. This is about the bucket list kinds of things. This is asking for something that excites you. What in your faith, what would it allow you to do that you would love to do? Not something you do out of guilt, something you do out of joy and resonance. Does that make sense? Take a minute now and ask God for some insight on that.